Blog Talk Radio.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting.
Time is on my side. It's getting better all the time.
Of your life.
That's right, time change weekend. Get drop your socks and grab your clocks. We're going to advance the clock after what? 2 a.m.? Is it 2 a.m. you're supposed to do it? Or at 1 a.m.?
Yep.
Something 2 a.m. like that. I should know this. I used to work in the bar industry, and that was a big deal. Because the licenses, you got to stop at 2:30. Anyway, I digress. We're doing radio program, singular, good one, about time. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show. I am accompanied by...
Dave Binkley from Weird This Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And we're accompanied by...
Greetings and felicitations. This is CW asking that Chicago question. Does anyone know what time it is? Does anybody really care?
We do tonight as we celebrate with a classic tale from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
And not only that, we will be able to find the origins of time as we find out how Ugg invented time. Tonight.
And
here
there
on
may
this
be,
channel.
And with apologies to Dave, time travel facts, Dale facts. That's right. It's going to be a night of fun.
So strap on your TARDIS and get ready to roll.
Wow. That sounds fine.
I think that would be give you a hernia. Wow. Strapping on that thing and walking away.
Give me something. A Point in Time is our tale tonight. Yep.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Dave has a lot of facts about it.
About A Point in Time? Oh,
yes.
Well. I can't get... Can't tell too much of the story without giving it away, so I don't want to give it away. I gave you a few hints ahead of time, but that's as much as I'm going to do because I don't want to give it away.
I'm no spoiler either.
You know,
I'm mum's the word.
It's
and as they say, time. Yeah,
yep.
Time will tell.
It will.
Time will tell.
It won't really tell. You have to still read it, yeah. But, okay.
Yep, we touched
Once
about...
Once you have one of those talking watches, that'll do it. Go ahead, Dale.
Yeah. No, we talked yesterday a little bit about where would you want to go if you could travel in time. And, you know, hey, Fogsbane, throw your two cents in. Where would you go if you could go anywhere in time? Me, I'd probably... I'm talking... I'd like to see the dinosaurs. But that could be like a very safe idea.
Well,
yeah.
I know yesterday.
One dinosaur nudges the other, says, well, you know, I only have salad now. And he points at Dale, said, that's salad.
Yes. Yikes.
Well, I said yesterday I'd like to go to the very first Star Trek convention that was held in New York, but... If given another alternative, I'd like to be the person walking down the street in front of a guy's house by the name of Steve Wozniak, where his best friend Steve Jobs, they're tinkering in their garage. I think it was his parents' garage, actually. And they say, hey, guys, that's an interesting-looking gizmo you got there. Can I get in on that?
Be fun to skip around, too, if you could visit a few things. You know what I mean? If you could skip around in time, get into your chair that looks like a fan boat, you know, pull the to visit is that that meeting between Ray Harryhausen and Ray Bradbury and Forrest Ackerman when they started a science fiction club back in 1939. It would have been great to hang out with all three of them.
Oh, yeah. It turned into what, the science fictioneers that moved from the East Coast to the West Coast when they all went out to the West Coast to make their name, fame,
yep,
and fortune and all that.
Yep.
Yeah, I believe that club still actually exists.
Wow.
Just think of all the sci-fi goodness that came out of those three guys.
I think I'd still stick with my 1940s as long as I could take my digital recorder along with me.
Don't go to anything like Nagasaki or Hiroshima. That would be
No.
That's a bad spot to go in the 40s.
Chicago's a safer place for me. Yeah.
The landing at Normandy, probably don't want to go there, Dave.
I want to be where the radio programs are. Yeah.
Ah. Yeah. Stateside. Good call.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
That would be nice. Make sure you bring a few yottabytes of flash drive with you.
Yes.
Well, you know, you'd have to go to some nightclubs, too, though, to see some of the bands live as well. I mean, not just to listen to the radio as it happened, you know, as it was new, but to see some of those bands live would be amazing.
Go ahead.
I was going to say you have to definitely go to Lindy's for their world-famous cheesecake that they were serving during that time. People raved about it.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking, like, on the nightclub scene like Dale was talking about, a lot of groups would even, like the Ritz Brothers and other things, would be working out their material in the nightclubs. You know, it was kind of like not quite vaudeville, but sort of vaudeville. And,
well, Stooges, too. They
would
tour in between doing their shorts and things like that. They did live appearances as well.
They did, yeah. And so you'd be able to catch so many people like that. Yeah, absolutely.
A very, very young Martin and Lewis.
Yeah. And one thing about the 40s, the music's good.
There you go.
You know, and to be honest with you, my brother liked it. I thought some of it was okay, but I never really got into it until I started doing my show and started, you know, grabbing some of these old big band numbers to help background for our shows.
Dave, I was real lucky for a time I worked at the Marriott, Shenanigans at the Pine. And we did a big band night, and I got really introduced. I found these two big Reader's Digest collections that were like hundreds and hundreds, and these were like mint condition records that I got a lot of good use of at that gig, and I really got introduced to a lot of good, you know, 40s swing and other types of music of the period, jazz.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good stuff.
That's great stuff. And some of that we try to share with you right here when we hit the old jukebox from time to time.
Yep. Well, I think we hit a point in time when we should start our show.
Nice segue.
I'm always trying. This is CBS Radio Mystery Theater. And do we have a show number and air date, Dave?
It is episode number 563 from October 25th of 1977.
This is KIXI, Seattle.
Kixie. I shot an arrow in the air. It did not fall. It stuck up there. The smog is visible and thick. Now, doesn't that just make you sick?
Join your local lung association in support of clean air legislation and public transportation.
Your local lung association says the care and concern for your lungs is very much a matter of life and breath.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents...
Come in.
Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. It's not where you've been that counts, they say, but where you're going. But perhaps it's wise to stop once in a while and take a long look in both directions. That was indeed a giant step from Kitty Hawk to the moon. Not so great, however, as the leap from the universe of Isaac Newton to that of Albert Einstein. Professor Einstein, like Alice's rabbit, dropped us suddenly into a wonderland where space and time and weight have lost their ancient meaning. A topsy-turvy world of technical marvels. A world of limitless possibilities for good and evil.
You can't destroy these men, Carl. You can't.
I can and I will.
Not before I get the information I need out of them. There's a big mistake.
There's no mistake. The External Security Agency gave us clear instructions.
External Security has made a botch of this operation. Our information is faulty.
Nonsense.
Please, Carl, I beg you.
This is a useless argument. I have my orders, and I intend to follow them to the letter.
Our mystery drama, A Point in Time, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Mary Jane Higbee and stars Paul Hecht and Russell Horton. It is sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores and CertainTeed Fiberglass Attic Insulation. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
In recent EPA tests, a 1977 Buick LeSabre with standard V6 and automatic transmission got an estimated 25 miles per gallon on the highway, 18 in the city. Now, the California numbers are lower and your mileage may vary, but think of it, 18 and 25 miles per gallon from a car known for its room and luxury, the 1977 LeSabre.
If your attic has less than 6 inches of insulation on the floor, you're being robbed every day without ever knowing it. To stop the under-insulation robber and possibly save up to 30% on the cost of fuel to heat and cool your home, inspect your attic. Then see your neighborhood CertainTeed building materials dealer or insulation contractor. CertainTeed fiberglass attic insulation will stop that robber once and for all.
Dreams. We all seek to understand the many ways in which God reveals His Word. God appeared to Solomon in a dream and asked, "What would you like me to give you?" Solomon replied, "I am young and unskilled in leadership. Would you give me the ability to discern good from evil?" So pleased was God with Solomon's simple request that he gave him much more than he asked for. As well as a wise and shrewd heart, God gave him riches, glory, and long life. He required only that Solomon keep his laws and commandments. Solomon awoke and recognized the truth of his dream and became a king known for righteous judgment. For more, write for your free booklet on dreams and visions to the Foundation Faith, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021. That's the Foundation Faith, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021.
Unseen force that governs our lives. Time. But what is time? A period in which something happens? But suppose nothing happens. Ah, but something is always happening, you say. The earth turns, the tides flow. But look away from this tiny universe of ours. Science tells us there are black holes out in space where there is nothing. In those great gaps, what and where is time? It was musing of this sort, coupled with the most shocking event of his life, that brought Fred Mackey to this quiet room and the attention of two very concerned gentlemen.
Now listen carefully. because this is the last time I'm going to repeat it, okay? Now, here is all I know about what happened to Don Wakeman. It was getting on toward evening. We were tramping upstream, keeping as close as we could to the river. Don, as usual, was some distance ahead. I've never known a man with his thirst for adventure and his dogged persistence. Hey, Don.
Yeah?
This looks like a good place, doesn't it? Under this tree?
Wait, you mean stop for the night already?
Yeah, why not?
But hey, we want to make the Colorado border tomorrow.
Look, I don't want to stumble around in the dark trying to make camp like last night, so let's knock off, okay?
Well, look, I'd just like to see what's around this next curve.
You know what's around there. More of what we're looking at right now. The river, a strip of grass, a few trees, low bluffs rising on both sides. Oh, come on, why do I always have to be the one to say stop? Don't you ever get tired?
Okay, we'll stop. Yeah, let's just take a look at this map.
Yeah.
See, I figure we're just about here. See, we passed this big rock with the two small ones balancing on top this morning. That's called the Two Sisters.
Yeah. Look, let's unload the gear, huh?
Okay. Oh, wow. It's peaceful, isn't it?
Yeah. Sure gets to you after a while, though.
Well, what do you mean?
The quiet. It's too quiet. It's eerie.
Eerie? It's good for the nerves to get this far away from civilization. You realize we haven't heard another human voice for, 10 days.
Well, frankly, I wouldn't mind hearing another voice about now.
Ah, nonsense. There's nothing like the wilderness to help you get your head together again.
Yeah. Oh, it's good to get rid of that backpack. Hey, where'd that come from?
What was that, a shot?
It sounded like one.
Strange. His hunting season hasn't opened yet.
Yeah, some guys don't worry too much about that once they get this far away from the law. Hey, Don, where are you going?
Well, up the cliff. The sound came from up there.
No, Don, hold it.
Well, what's the matter?
You stick your head up over that bluff and you'll get it blown off. You know these amateur hunters. Something moves, they shoot and ask questions later.
What was that?
I don't know. Sounded like a car horn. It couldn't be.
Some kind of animal, maybe?
No. Hey, yeah, it is an automobile.
That wasn't a shot. It must have been a backfire.
No, that's impossible. No car could get through this terrain.
Well, come on, let's find out.
Hey, watch yourself. That's loose shale.
It's okay. You can get a footing.
Now watch it, Don.
There's some roots and brush to hang on to. Yeah, I made it. Good Lord.
What is it?
Well, there's a road up here.
Gee, I'll be darned. How in the world did we miss this?
Look, it runs right back where we came from. You can see those rocks, the Two Sisters.
Yeah, well, why didn't we see the road this morning? It's not on the map. I don't get it.
Hey, look, there's the car.
Yeah.
Behind the scrub oak. Look at it. That, it's a woman.
Hey, look at the car.
Look at that chick. She's the most beautiful thing I ever saw.
Hey, watch out, miss. No, don't touch that radiator cap. You'll get burned. That's steam.
Thank heaven. I was hoping somebody would hear my horn. Do you understand motors?
Well, I never had a car like this one, but...
That's a Packard, isn't it?
Yes, Packard Roadster.
About 1922, 23, I'd say, and in mint condition. Boy, that's beautiful.
But what's gone wrong with it?
Well, look, the radiator boiled over. You'll have to give her time to cool off.
Yeah, here, I'll raise the hood so the breeze can get at the engine.
Well, it'll take a little while, which is okay by me. It'll give us time to get acquainted. I'm Don Wakeman. This is my friend, Fred Mackey.
Well, I can't wait. I've got to get back to town.
Town? What town?
Oh, aren't you from the town?
No, we're hikers.
Hikers?
Yeah, we're on a walking trip.
You mean you walked up here?
All the way from Santa Fe.
But that's miles.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And you walked? Why?
Yeah, that's a good question. Ask him. He's the nature lover.
What town do you come from?
Silverstrike.
Silverstrike? Well, I never heard of it.
It's not on the map, is it?
Oh, it's just a small mining town. We're mighty proud of it, though.
Yeah. Now, I know a lot of guys who come up here hunting every year, and nobody ever said anything about a town.
Want to see it? Hop in. I'll take you.
Well, nothing I'd like better, but you're going to have to wait for that engine to cool.
No, I've got to get back immediately.
Look, Fred, why don't we go down to the river and get some water for the radiator?
No, you can't put cold water in there. You'll crack the block.
We'll make a fire. We'll warm the water.
Well, you'll come back, won't you? You won't leave me here alone.
You bet we'll be back.
You'll like Silverstrike. It's a pretty town.
If it's half as pretty as you are.
Quit your kidding.
I'm not kidding. You're really something.
You're some chic yourself.
What? Yeah. We'll be right back.
Okay, kiddo.
Hey, what's the rush?
What a beautiful chick.
Would you take it easy? She's not going anywhere. She can't, not till that engine cools. Hey, you know that's a fantastic antique, that car? Mm-hmm. It's worth a lot of bread, you know.
Imagine finding a magnificent creature like that out here in the middle of nowhere.
Hey, Don.
Hmm?
You know what she reminds me of? An old-time movie star, Clara Bow. Did you ever see a picture of Clara Bow?
Yeah.
I mean, didn't you notice that this girl looks just like her?
Hey, you're right. She does. You know, that figure and that hair.
Yeah.
I've always been crazy about red hair. Well, look, you gather up our stuff while I heat the water. We are going to spend a couple of nights in Silver Strike.
A couple of nights?
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were set on Colorado by tomorrow.
Colorado can wait. But that girl... Man, my fate is calling to me from a 1923 Packard Roadster.
From the moment he laid eyes on that woman, Don Wakeman was doomed. Well, we finally got her car started. He jumped into the seat beside her. I struggled into the rumble seat with our camping gear. He never took his eyes off her face during the short drive. But when we got into Silver Strike... Even Don sat up and took notice.
Hey, what is this, a movie set? Where did all the Model Ts come from?
Hey, and that horse with a milk wagon?
Hey, how about that, an ice wagon?
Hey, look down there, Don.
Yeah.
A barber pole and a cigar store Indian. Oh, hey, I get it. You're having a celebration.
The bicentennial, right?
What bicentennial?
What bicentennial?
You haven't heard of the bicentennial?
No.
Oh, come on. You can't be that far out of the action up here.
I guess we are a little bit out of things. Oh, that's my house on the corner. Won't you come in?
Well, I don't see why not.
Don, it's getting a little late. I don't think...
Zilla!
I'm coming!
Where have you been? We were searching for you.
The Don Roadster broke down.
You went outside bounds on the first day... Completely against regulations. And you took this pair with you. What unit are they from?
They are not townspeople.
You're not about the rules, Zella.
Carl, these are visitors, not townspeople.
Oh, visitors. Well, welcome to Silver Strike. How did they manage to get up here?
They walked all the way from Santa Fe.
Well, I'll be doggone.
I thought that would surprise you. You see, we don't get many visitors up here.
In the hunting season, I should think you would.
Well, now, if you fellas walked all the way, you must be about tuckered out.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Come on inside.
Now, look, it's really getting late, and we better be going.
Confidentially, I got something special in the way of liquid refreshment. You know what I mean?
I could do with a drink, Fred.
Sure you could. Well, come on into the house. Now, this is none of your lousy bootleg hooch. I got the real thing. Bottled in bond. Fella smuggled it in from Mexico. Come right on in. You can just drop your backpacks here in the hall. Zella, honey, run out to the kitchen and fetch the bottle Jose brought back. Bring four glasses. You've been a bad girl, but I reckon you can have a little snort, too.
Hot dog. Be right back.
Silly little flapper. I guess I've spoiled her. Well, come into the parlor. Take the load off your feet.
Oh, thanks.
Boy, am I bushed.
You'll find Silver Strike a friendly town.
Carl, I don't see it.
Back of the shelf, hon. It's kind of tough to get at. Reckon I better go myself. Top shelf, hon.
Now, that is one strange pair.
Yeah. You think he's her father or her husband?
Yeah, it's hard to tell. It's funny, the way they talk, both of them.
Yeah, like they're back in the 20s.
Yeah, a couple of weirdos.
Now, wait a minute, I wouldn't say that. That Zilla is a sexy little doll.
Yeah. You know the town, it doesn't look real. I mean, it's like you said, a fake movie set.
Dang, prohibition law. Maybe all right for them cookie pushers back east, but when a man's been working all day, he needs a drink.
You still have prohibition?
Yeah. Dry as a bone. Well, here's mud in your eye.
Down the hatch.
Here's to you, lovely lady. Liquid lightning. That's what they had in that bottle. Well, when my breath came back and my eyes cleared, Zella was smiling her weird little smile and Carl rambling on in his 1920s slang. I wanted to say something, but I couldn't get my head together. I was numb. Time stood still. Then Don slumped out of his chair. Carl laughed. He bent over Don, then turned to me, his breath hot on my face.
I took care of them for the time being. Well, now, Zella, my friend, you have some explaining to do. You want to do it now, or shall we liquidate our visitors first?
What have our friends wandered into? A town time-locked in some mysterious way in the second decade of this century? One thing seems certain. Silver Strike is not the friendly town its citizens would have us believe it to be. We'll learn more when we return to Act Two.
Here comes the king, here comes the big number one. Budweiser beer, the king is second to none. Just say Budweiser, you've said it all.
St. Louis, Missouri.
There you go. When you say it, Bud. You said it all, Bud.
You just said it all, Dale. Guess the show's over now.
There we go. That was the greatest comment ever. That is the chat quote of the night from Fogsbane. Dale does have a time machine, and we've been in it the whole time.
Hey, a little bit about our star tonight, Mr. Paul Hecht, who was 81 and still with us. Man, that would be cool to track him down and get him on one of our broadcasts one of these days. He's appeared in 138 of the Mystery Theaters, and the reason he did that is because basically most of his working career has been on Broadway, so right down there in New York where Hyman Brown had his studios. He'd do the Broadway by night and Mystery Theater by day. Born in London, England, he graduated from the National Theater School of Canada in 1963, made his Broadway debut in 68 in Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, for which was nominated a Tony Award for Best Performance by a Feature Actor in a Play. Additional Broadway credits in 1776 is John Dickinson, Rothschilds, The Great God Brown, Herzl, Caesar and Cleopatra, Noises Off, The Invention of Love. He received the Obie Award for his performance in the off-Broadway production of Enrico IV in 1989. He also lent his voice to the Army veterinarian in the 2010 animated film My Dog Tulip. He played Emperor Palpatine for radio drama adaptions of The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, which NPR aired. Hecht was a regular on the Mystery Theater from 74 to 82. His television credits extend recurring roles as Allie's ex-husband Charles on Kate and Allie, a frequent guest shots on Law and Order. He did 7 Law and Order episodes, 1 Special Victims Unit. He had about 7 or 8episodes on As the World Turns. He was on Starsky and Hutch, Remington Steele, Miami Vice, Queer as Folk. And he's performed with the Philadelphia Orchestra and Allentown Symphony at the 92nd Street Y and performed the program of John Donne sonnets with the early music group Parenthia. He recorded many books for Recorded Books and Audible. He was president of the New Yorker chapter of the Screen Actors Guild from 91 to 95, and he's still with us. All right, we got to track him down.
That would be incredible.
Cow.
That would be incredible.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
A couple of movies he was in. Just a couple of quick movies he was in. He was in Down to Earth with Chris Rock. He was in The First Wives Club with Goldie Hawn, Diane Keaton, and who was that?
Bette Midler.
The Bette Midler. And he was in Howard Stern's Private Parts as a radio.
How do you get there?
Gosh.
So,
how did he?
Yeah. What an amazing, amazing talent.
Outstanding. And his last name, is it spelled H-E-C-H-T? Heck?
Exactly. Exactly.
That put a query mark over my head for the Kolchak Night Stalker fans. If you remember in the first movie, Kolchak, the Night Stalker.
Right.
Ben Heck. Remember, Ben Heck is someone Carl said I should light a candle to Ben Heck, who was a real person. A real newspaper person. As a matter of fact, I have a quote from Mr. Heck regarding the subject of the evening, Time. And I quote from Mr. Ben Heck, Carl Kolchak's muse, "Time is a circus, always packing up and moving away." That's Ben Heck. Who knows, they may be distantly related.
Could be.
Could be.
But
wow.
There you are. Yeah.
What the heck?
This is how we say, Dale. Eerie House Radio, a little bit of fact, a little bit of fun, and a whole lot of old-time radio.
Ahoo-dah. Let's get and some fun planned as well. So let's jump right into part two of A Point in Time.
Everyone celebrated a very important day. It was July 4th, 1976, when Americans everywhere celebrated the bicentennial in their own way. I'm Charles Kuralt, CBS News, suggesting that if everyone celebrates Election Day in one way, by voting, November 2nd will be even more important. This, of all years, don't miss the vote. A reminder from the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, this is Count Basie. The jazz you're listening to is more than music. It's the spirit and the soul of an important art that must be preserved. The New York Jazz Museum is trying to keep this soul alive and beating, but it can't be done without your help. So please send your contribution today to New York Jazz Museum, 44 West 63rd Street, New York, New York, 123. Now help preserve the museum and save the soul. Thank you.
In the wilderness, far beyond Santa Fe, there is a sign. Silver Strike. Altitude 8,000 feet. Population 10,000. A casual visitor to the town might think he had slipped back into the early 1920s. The little boys wear knickerbockers, and the little girls have bows in their hair. The prevailing mode of transport is the Model T. But the sign goes on to say, a friendly town. Fred Mackey would have quarreled with that description as he struggles to recover from an almost lethal Mickey Finn.
I think it was the jackhammer in my head that finally brought me to. Every nerve in my body quivered and ached. The soft chime of a clock striking 10 sent a shiver of pain through me. Moonlight streamed in the window and fell across Dawn, sprawled on the floor where that rotten booze had flung him. Through the closed door of the kitchen, I could hear voices, hot with anger.
No, you're not going to kill them. Not till I get the information I want.
I know what you want out of them, and it's not information. This is the last time I accept a mission with a man-hungry female.
Now, you look here. I share this command with you equally, and don't you forget it.
You've disobeyed the External Security Agency. The manual distinctly says
that... External Security has made a botch of this operation with their faulty information. I'm trying to save it.
What faulty information?
That is just the point. I don't know. But one thing is certain. Before we go ahead, we'd better find out.
Ah, bunkum.
Oh, you are such a fool. I don't know why they sent you on this expedition.
Because you couldn't have got here without me. I'm the only chronologist who could chart the trip.
Yes, you know time sequentials, and that's all you do know.
This is a useless argument.
No, please, Carl, listen to me. There's a big mistake of some kind, and we can find out from these men what it is.
There is no mistake.
I know there is. They spotted it the moment they got here. The town amused them. They laughed.
It was their last laugh. I intend to follow my orders, as given in the manual.
Carl, we can't just blunder blindly ahead.
I am going to follow orders, to the letter.
I refuse.
You refuse to carry out the mission? That's mutiny.
Look, Carl, all I'm asking is a short delay to reassess the situation.
Well, I suppose if you're going to be so pig-headed about it, but these men are not leaving here alive, and that's final.
That was all I needed to hear. I managed to drag Don out into the hall. He was a dead weight. A bowl of white flowers gleamed in the moonlight near the door. I threw them on the floor and poured some of the water in his face. He stirred slightly.
Don. Come on, Don. Wake up. We gotta get out of here.
Don, I hate to do this, but...
Oh!
Come on, you gotta come out of it.
Stop that.
Come on, get up. Come on, get up. Okay, okay, let's try something else.
Ow! Get that out!
Quiet, quiet!
You're gonna break my arm!
I'll twist it off if you don't wake up. Now listen, listen to me. We've got to get out of here, now. Okay, come on, get up. Get up.
Can't.
Yes, you can. Come on. Come on, up on your feet.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. I'll help you. All right, now lean on me. Lean on me.
Hey, what's the idea?
They're going to kill us.
What?
They are planning to kill us. Now, can you walk?
Yeah.
Okay, okay, come on, come on. Here we go.
What's this?
Your knapsack. Come on, grab it and let's go.
Where are we going?
Back to the river. Come on.
Find a motel. I gotta lie down. I'm sick.
We gotta get into hiding. Dan, they're going to spot us a mile away in this moonlight. Come on, come on, let's go over here. Over here in the shadow of the trees.
No, wait. I better go to the police.
No, I don't trust anybody. This whole setup, this whole town seems phony to me.
It's probably imagination.
Don, if you don't pull yourself together and get tracking, so help me, I'm going to leave you. Now try, man.
Okay, okay.
That's better.
Here comes a car. You hit your wall.
No, come on. Stay back here in the shadow.
What's going on here?
Oh, it's nothing. My friend's been sick. He's all right now. Thanks for stopping. We're okay.
What are you fellas doing on the street this time of night?
I was just passing through town. We're backpackers.
Backpackers? Huh? Look more like vagrants to me. Now, you hold everything till I come around and get a look at you.
Yeah. Don't try to pull any fast ones. I got a gun on you. Sick, huh? Looks drunk to me. Hey, you the guy's been running the bad booze in here. I've been on the lookout for you. I'm the sheriff.
Hey, no, Sheriff. We're from Santa Fe. Here, we have identification. I'll show you.
You are under arrest.
Arrest? For what?
For drunkenness, disorderly conduct, public nuisance.
Oh, look, we're just walking quietly through town. Is there a law against that?
This is a gun, mister. It says get in the car. Do you hear it?
Perfectly. Come on, Don. You heard what the man said.
Sheriff's office. Bronson speaking.
Oh,
yeah, Carl, I picked them up all right. They're safe in the cooler. Oh, no, no, they didn't give me any trouble. None at all. Yeah, well, I'll wait till I hear from you. Right, Carl. Goodbye.
Sheriff. Sheriff.
Quiet back there.
Sheriff, haven't you overlooked something?
Ew. Well, what's that?
The small matter of our rights. I mean, you failed to tell me my rights.
What rights?
Well, for starters, Sheriff, I have a right to a phone call. I would like to talk to my lawyer in Santa Fe.
Well, ain't that tough. We ain't got no phone.
Now, that's a lie. You were just using it. We could hear you.
Wouldn't argue so much if I was you.
You lousy...
Cool it, Fred.
Look, this is a damned outrage.
Shut up. That's the way we like things in Silver Strike. Nice and quiet.
Don, we're in a real jam. And that guy Carl, he really means to kill us, you know?
Mm, he damn near did. What do you think he put in that booth?
Now listen to me.
Hmm?
We got to get a couple of things straight around here.
Not now. I got to lie down.
You can't. Now look, this is important. They'll probably separate us for questioning. Don't give them any information. You understand? None.
It must have been rat poison.
Look, Don, pull yourself together. Did you hear what I said?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't give them any information.
Right. Because if you do, we're as good as dead. Now, the only reason we're alive now is because that woman thinks we know something. Something she wants to find out. So hopefully we are safe till she does find out. Whatever it is.
Oh, look, I can't follow all this. I gotta lie down.
Look, they've made some kind of mistake. She thinks we know what it is. What she actually said was they spotted it the moment they drove into town. Let's think, Don. Let's think back. What was it we spotted?
Oh, I don't know. The kooky 1920s
yeah,
look.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They know all about that. I mean, did we say anything she didn't seem to know about?
Well, no. Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah?
The Bicentennial.
That's right. She never heard of it.
Yeah.
Well, what puzzles me is that they talk like they really are in the 20s.
Oh, well, maybe they are. Maybe we've slipped back in time.
What do you mean, slipped back?
I saw this movie once. It was about a fellow who slipped back 200 years. Yeah. All the women wore hoop skirts.
Man, you must be hungover.
Oh, no. A hangover would be a relief compared to this.
Well, look, there's got to be a perfectly natural explanation. And we'll find it out if we ask ourselves the right questions. Now, why would anybody want to put up a 1920 town up here in the wilderness, huh?
I don't know.
Well, think.
You can't. My head feels like it's been in a meat chopper.
Try.
Tourist attraction?
Up here?
Well, why not? There's that guy moved London Bridge to the Arizona desert, and tourists flock in by the thousands.
Yeah, but how would they get here?
The road?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been thinking about that road. Gravel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but there wasn't a mark on it. Not a bump, not a rut. I'd swear that no vehicle had ever gone over it. And why didn't we see it when we climbed up by that big rock, Two Sisters?
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, look around you. Here. Does this cell look right to you?
Well, I'll tell you, the bunk looks good. I gotta lie down, Fred.
I mean, it all looks new. I bet we're the only people ever been in here. I mean, you're right. It's like a bad movie set. The people, they seem unreal somehow.
Not Zella. She's a sexy little doll, if I ever saw her.
Even Zella seems strange, out of this world.
Okay. So she's from Mars. They're all from Mars. Now, that is my last word. Now, will you let me lie down and quietly die?
Mars. From Mars.
Oh,
from Mars.
Man, you're in worse shape than I am, if you think I meant that. Now, spaced out, I may be, but I still don't go for flying saucers.
Don stretched out on one of the cots and passed right out again. The fatigue and the hangover finally got to me, too, and I had to lie down. I didn't wake up until late afternoon, and when I did, I rolled over, looked around, and I sat up with a start. Don was gone. Don! Sheriff!
Quiet!
Sheriff, where's my friend?
Quiet!
Sheriff, come here.
Quiet now. They can hear you out on the street. Now, what's eating you?
Where's my friend?
Well, your friend, he left.
Yeah, I can see that. Where is he?
Well, now, I don't recollect him leaving no forwarding address.
Look, how did he get out?
He walked.
You mean he just opened the cell door and he walked out?
Well, that's about the size of it.
Okay, well, then let me out then, too.
Oh, sorry.
Well, you won't let me out, huh?
That's about the size of it.
Why not?
I ain't had no orders let you out.
Well, who gave the orders to let him out?
A lady come down here with an order from the mayor.
They left together?
That's about the size of it.
That was when I began to lose hope. Don never could resist a pretty woman. And I'd never seen him as hot as he was over this Zella. If she got him alone for 20 minutes, I felt sure she could get anything she wanted out of him. It was 2.5 days before I saw him again.
Open up, Sheriff. He's coming with me.
Don! Where the devil have you been?
Here, Sheriff. Here's the order. You'll see it's okay.
Yeah, oh, it seems in order, all right. Well, my friend, you're a free man. Here's your knapsack. Everything's there. You better check it for yourself, though.
Don, what's been going on, eh?
So long, folks. Don't you take no wooden nickels.
Yeah, I'm going to sue you. I'm going to sue you in this town for everything you've got. False arrest.
Tell it to the Marines.
I'd like to push those ugly teeth down his throat.
Hey, take it easy.
Where have you been?
I've been with Zella.
Yeah, I gathered that. I suppose you told her everything you know?
No, I've told her nothing.
Yeah.
Now, look, you're wrong about Zella. She's the most... Well, the most gentle, most tender woman I've ever known.
Oh, man, I was afraid of this.
You and I have got to have a serious and a calm talk.
Okay, but let's get out of this pest hole of a town first.
We can't. We can't get out.
What do you mean we can't get out?
It's no use.
What's going to stop us?
A lot of things. The security here is not to be believed. Now, this is going to be hard for you to grasp. It was hard for me at first. You were right about Silverstrike. This town is only 3 days old.
What?
It's an invasion base.
I don't get it. What are you talking about?
Infiltration from another planet.
What?
It's true. These people are all part of an invasion force like commandos from outer space.
You're kidding.
No. They are going to take over the Earth, and they can do it without firing a shot. See, they have orders not to scorch the land. They need it. They've exhausted the resources of their own planet and 5 others besides. They are going to take over the Earth and plow it under for farmland.
An invasion from outer space? I hasten to remind you that we have only Fred Mackey's word for what happened that day in the remoteness of the Sangre de Cristo mountains. But, invaders or not, the citizens of Silver Strike are clearly up to no good. What their intentions really are, we will learn when I return with Act 3.
There's a bell class. Settle down.
I have bronchial asthma, but I also have a class to teach, so I take Bronchate tablets. They help keep my occasional asthma attacks away for hours. Primatine tablets, they worked, but Bronchate has an extra ingredient to help get rid of congestion. And with asthma, getting rid of bronchial congestion is really important. Bronchate helps me breathe easy for hours.
Bronchate tablets do more to let you breathe easier. Use only as directed.
Miss Armstrong?
Yes?
May I ask you a few questions?
Well, I am rather rushed.
It'll only take a minute.
Oh, all right.
Thank you. Miss Armstrong, I hear you're going into seclusion for the most important production of your life. What's it going to be?
I'm not quite sure.
But how do you prepare for something without knowing what it is?
Oh, my doctor will help me. You see, this is very different from my other roles. Oh, and I must follow all of his orders.
Your doctor?
Yes. First, I must set up regular appointments with him.
Uh-huh.
Eat well-balanced and nourishing meals. Exercise moderately.
I see.
And stay away from all pills and other medications, except those prescribed by him.
What does that have to do with the performing arts?
Oh, everything. The preparation for any performance requires discipline. You see, I'm preparing for a baby. With my doctor and the March of Dimes to coach me, I won't miss a cue. Oh, and I already know the most important line.
What's that?
The March of Dimes says, be good to your baby before it is born.
And that is part two of A Point in Time.
Yes, it is.
Very peculiar.
Yeah, we just went from 1929 to an alien invasion where they're going to plow us under for farmland.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
as one does. I don't know.
Let's see. I'll get a squash of asparagus around me. And so you guys will get, let's see, your favorite veg. Let me think. Oh, yeah, pumpkin because it's Halloween.
There you go.
Only in my coffee.
Of late cauliflower is my favorite vegetable.
Tasty.
Yes.
I think, carrot is my favorite, especially when it's in cake.
With all the sweet cream cheese to kill the carrot flavor.
Ooh.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wait a second. Dale's having a sugar rush right now just listening to it.
I'm shaking the quake.
Well, I have a little and a proverb to add to our time theme today. Since we're in the month of dear Saint Patty himself, I found an Irish proverb, if I might be permitted to share that little ditty with you. It says, time is a great storyteller. And there you have it, from an Irish proverb, from the Emerald Isle. That's my Irish accent.
Very nice. Very nice.
Very nice, yeah.
All the Lucky Charms I ate as a child is coming back to haunt me.
Yeah, that could happen. But they're magically delicious, so, you know.
Oh, there you go.
I think the magic was sugar, wasn't it?
Yeah, sugar on sugar with some sugar added.
See, I learned my Irish from Irish Spring. Strong enough made for a man. Ah, but I like it too.
Yeah. Actually, I like Irish Spring.
Yes.
My wife's not crazy about it, so I guess she didn't watch the commercials. I don't know.
Yeah.
It has a nice aroma to it. It's a little heady. Not like a Ralphie's piquant flavor of palm olive, slightly piquant.
Yes.
But if we're talking about soap that you got your mouth washed out with.
Yeah.
Lava.
As long as it doesn't. Yeah. With the lava, Jerry. Oh, yes. Lava. Well, that was rough on the hands.
Oh, it didn't take your tongue off, you know, if you had to wash your mouth out with that stuff.
What did they use in the Christmas Story? It was Life Boy they used, I think.
I think it was.
Yeah. Of course, it caused blindness in his dream. Yes.
It was the Life Boy.
What have we done? Kids fantasizing parental revenge. I'll make them feel bad. I'll go blind.
Okay, we're time warping. It's Christmas in March. Okay.
But it's also time enough to get in A Point in Time. Part three, we'll wrap it up, and some fun to follow. Stick around as we wrap it up from CBS Radio Street.
hikers in the mountains, not far from the rise of the Rio Grande, have stumbled into a town redolent of the atmosphere of the early 20s. To Fred Mackey, the inhabitants resemble the characters in a silent movie. But his friend Don Wakeman insists they are invaders from outer space.
It's inevitable, Fred. They're going to conquer the world, and swiftly.
You are asking me to believe that this yokel and the sheriff and that idiot Carl are really spacemen? From a flying saucer?
Of course not. They don't use vehicles. They haven't for centuries.
Well, then how did they get here?
Space compression.
Space compression?
Yeah. Look, there's a lot of space inside the atom, you know? It's mostly space. Well, they prefabricated a town like Silver Strike, compress the component atoms, and reduce it with all its inhabitants to a speck of energy. Then they send it out on a beam.
A beam?
A beam that travels many times the speed of light to any point in the universe.
Yeah, then I suppose they pull the atoms back up again?
Exactly.
Oh, look, that woman is kidding you. This is ridiculous. Take a look around you. They're stupid. They're like hillbillies. That Carl, he's completely ape.
Yeah, well, Zella agrees with you about him. She says he's basically dull-witted, but he's a trained chronologist.
What in the world is that?
A time navigator. You see, when you travel through space, you travel through time, too. Well, it's very involved.
Oh, come on. You know what I think we stumbled into? Some kind of kook commune.
Oh, I told Zella I wouldn't get anywhere with you. One last time, Fred. Yeah. This is it. You understand me? This is it, the end of our civilization. We can't fight it. The technology of these people is centuries ahead of ours.
Where did she say they came from?
A planet called Agantha.
Agantha?
Yeah. It's in another galaxy. To them, Earth looks like a lovely little greenhouse. You see, they've exhausted Agantha's resources. We are the two luckiest men on Earth, you know? Thanks to Zella.
Well, how'd you figure that?
They need us. See, their advanced intelligence agents have failed them somehow. At least Zella thinks they have, and she's afraid to proceed without better information. If we cooperate, they'll make us technical advisors, officers in their army. Otherwise...
Yeah, otherwise?
Carl wants to blot us out. Instantly, without leaving a trace.
You really believe this, huh?
I believe what I saw.
All right. Now, wait a minute. If they're from another planet, how come they talk like Americans,
Well,
huh?
They've been planning this operation for years. They've been trained for it since childhood.
All right. But then why the 1920 masquerade?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, fortunately for us, the operation got fouled up somehow. Somebody goofed.
Do you know what you're saying? We've run into a huge, a cosmic snafu. Okay, well, let them figure their way out of it. They're getting no help from me.
John, honey?
Hi, Zella.
Well, did you have a good talk? Hello, Freddy. Feel better, kiddo? I brought you a root beer.
Yeah, I had one drink with you. I haven't recovered. Thank you.
Oh, that was Carl's idea. He's a bungler. I hated to have him included in this mission, but we had to have a time navigator. I handled the space trajectory myself, and I'm proud of what I did, not 15 miles off, but the time projection is tricky, too. So, we have to put up with that dumbbell, Carl. Now, what we want out of you boys is simple. Just tell me what it was about this town that struck you as off-key.
No, I'm not telling you anything. All right, you get that straight right now. Neither is my friend here, if I have anything to say about it.
John, darling, I'd hoped you'd explain to him. Freddy, listen, I'm trying to save your lives. Tell me, why doesn't Silver Strike look like your average American town?
It must be the time element, Zella, the 1920s.
All right, Zella, what have they told you?
Look up there.
What?
In the sky. What is that thing?
What it looks like. A flying ship.
But it's huge.
What is it?
Is it an Earth ship?
Yeah, it's a jet, all right.
Jet?
Yeah, jet-propelled airplane.
Jet-propelled? Carl, did you hear that? There's your proof. Earth has only small cockpit planes, hardly bigger than automobiles. That's what we were told, isn't it?
Yes, but...
And look up there. Now can you see that something's wrong? Advanced intelligence told us nothing of aircraft of that size. Don, what's
did you say about the 1920s look?
Well, the Model T Fords, all the horses.
What is the date?
The date? Well, it's the 5th or 6th. I'm not sure.
No, the year. The year.
The year? Well, it's 1976.
1976? No, it can't be.
1976. Well, that puts another light on things, doesn't it, Carl? The Advance Information Agency didn't fail us. You did. You. You bungler, you fool. This is all your fault.
Zella, I can explain.
You had charge of the time schedule. You brought us in 50 years late.
I don't see how I could have. What will we do, Zella?
We'll have to abandon our plans and get back to Agantha immediately.
Yeah, they must be wondering what happened to you.
We can't salvage this operation. Carl, alert the members of the expedition. We leave Earth within 12 hours.
So what shall I do with this pair?
Don, darling, you're coming with me, aren't you?
You know I am, Zella. Any time, any place.
Don, no. Now, come on, wake up, man. You can't do this.
I am going to go with a woman I love.
We'd better take them both with us. We'd better have something to show on Agantha for all the money we spent on this expedition. Otherwise, they'll tear us apart.
Oh, no. Oh, no. You're not taking me back. No way.
It's your only hope for survival, Fred. They're bound to win. Now think, we'll be the first, the only Earthmen to reach out beyond the stars to see what lies beyond the Milky Way.
I don't want to see beyond the stars, and I sure don't want to be reduced to a speck and shot out into space with Carl in control.
Okay, I use the ion redactor on him.
No, let him go, please. Zella.
I can't do that, Don.
Zella, if you destroy him, you'll have to kill both of us.
John, it's impossible. I'm sorry.
You know how I feel about you, Zella, but I can't stand by and watch you kill my friend. Just free him. Let him go, and I'll come with you.
I can't free him. We can't leave him here to spread rumors, to warn the Earth people.
Let him talk all he pleases. Nobody will believe him. I promise you, nobody will ever believe him.
And nobody has believed me so far. Oh, I understand why. The region has been thoroughly explored, and there's no evidence of a town ever having been there. No sign of burned ground from a blast-off, either. But you see, it wasn't like that. There was no blast-off. When they were ready to go, Don and Zella walked with me to the edge of town.
Don't look back. The light will be too intense for your eyes.
Don, you sure you won't change your mind?
I'm standing on the brink of the greatest adventure of the ages. Nothing in the world could make me turn back.
We'll be back in less than a year. We never give up.
And when we come back, I'll get to you first, Fred. I'm going to save you in spite of yourself. So long. And good luck. You're going to need it.
You say there was no sign of the town ever having been there?
No, Doctor.
Well, it's the same story you told me nearly a year ago when you first came down out of the mountains.
Well, I was badly shaken by the experience. But, Doctor, as you can see, I'm perfectly well now. I'm ready to go home.
Well, now, we're certain that you feel even more secure in your recovery if you take a longer period in a stress-free environment.
No, Doctor, I don't need it. I really don't need
and
it.
And we've located a splendid place, Mirror Lake. It's run by Dr. Cumberland.
No.
Excellent therapist.
No, my nerves are as steady as yours.
There's a man here from Mirror Lake.
Look, never mind, Doctor. I'm fed up. Look, do you hear me? I've had it with you people.
And that's patient transportation.
No, I'm not going. I'm not going. No.
Dr. Siddeley, patient transportation service. The receptionist told us to come right up.
Yes. Come in.
I'm Al Freeman, Doctor.
Don, my God. You've come back.
This is the patient?
Doctor, here's my proof. Here's my proof. This is Don Wakeman.
No, Mr. Mackey. This is Mr. Freeman.
This is Miss Michaels.
How do you do?
It is her. It's the woman from again. Zella. I told you.
It's too bad. He's been perfectly lucid until now.
You have the impression we've met before, Mr. Mackey?
Yes.
Well, we've come to take you with us.
You've come to take me with you?
Yes. To a very nice place.
Oh.
Are you ready to go?
Yeah. Sure. Sure, I am ready to go.
Well, splendid.
Yeah, I'll
splendid.
Go. Goodbye. Goodbye, Dr. Siddeley.
Just a moment. There are some papers that must be signed.
Sure, sure. Give me a pen, eh?
There you are.
Thank you.
Mr. Mackey, I'm sure you'll be glad you made this decision. Keep in touch with us. We're interested in your progress. I hope you'll let us hear from you.
Oh, you'll hear from us, all right. That's for sure. You'll hear from us sooner than you think.
An immediate invasion from outer space? Well, now, with all its recent probing, science has yet to receive the slightest indication of sentient beings out there. But before you go to sleep tonight, consider this fact. Within the area of the sky known as the bowl of the Big Dipper, within that area alone, there are discernible 2 million billion stars. Can you believe that in all that vast array of worlds, there is nobody? I'll be back shortly.
Does your freezer rate a great big zero temperature-wise, or even less? It should, you know. As we learn from the current Family Circle magazine's excellent Freeze Ahead Cookbook, a section to pull out and save. It tells how to prepare and package various foods for freezing with novel ideas such as cubing soups in ice trays for storage in plastic bags. There's a helpful chart showing how long each type of food will keep its flavor in the deep freeze. Uncooked chicken, for instance, keeps a year. Fried chicken, only 4 months. There's advice on what not to freeze. Mayo's a no-no. And you'll find fine freezeable recipes from Armenian lamb stew to French apple pie. Just in time for the holidays, Family Circle has some glittering fashions for you to crochet, like a silvery tank top with matching accessories. The November Family Circle with the easy-to-copy flower embroidery on the cover is now at your supermarket checkout counter. This is Jack Sterling for Family Circle, the world's largest-selling woman's magazine.
Few free offers can measure up to this one. Hi, Pat Summerall to tell you more. Just buy a Lufkin 16-foot measure lock power tape measure from your True Value hardware store, and you'll get a metric tape measure absolutely free. The Lufkin 16-foot measure lock tape has a blade that locks in place so you can be sure your measurements are accurate every time. The strong steel tape can't twist or tangle up, and it's covered with a protective finish that stands up to wear and weathering. The Lufkin measure lock tape from your True Value hardware store is bright yellow, so it's easy to read. And when you're finished measuring, it rewinds instantly at the touch of a button, right into a lightweight, high-impact plastic case. So take advantage of a free offer that really measures up. Get the Lufkin 16-foot measure lock tape for just $5.50, and you'll get a metric tape measure absolutely free at participating True Value hardware stores. True Value. Remember, that's more than just a name. It's their way of doing business. And tell them Pat Summerall sent you.
There's a moral in Fred Mackey's story. It must be this. Science provides us every day with greater technical marvels, but technology can't offer the wisdom or intelligence to use them properly. For that, perhaps we must look to older and more profound disciplines. Some 5,000 years ago, we were given 10 precepts, which, carried out to the letter, would bring us into accord with nature and our fellow beings. And that would indeed be a giant step, greater by far than the leap from Kitty Hawk to the moon. Our cast included Paul Hecht, Russell Horton, Terry Keane, and Court Benson. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
That was a very, very cool ending. Eerie House Radio loudly presents a garrulous moral of the story.
It's apologies to Gar. With 200 million billion stars, there must be many, many alien worlds wanting to invade us. But don't worry, because we've already invaded them with McDonald's franchises.
Eeny, meeny, chili beanie, the spirits are about to speak.
Thought you'd get away, Gar, huh? No way.
There you go.
Well, he smeared his makeup, just like slamming the brakes.
Interesting.
Well,
another
someone's applying
tale. Lipstick. Uh-oh, who? Oh, he is, yeah. Yes. I thought you saw me doing it again. I don't know.
Oh, and hello to good old Bob in the chat room there.
Yeah, join us,
Fogs and good old
us.
Bob. And us. So, sorry. Dale, you've got some time travel and Dale packs, do you?
Well, first I thought maybe, just maybe, we would turn back the hands of time. Go way back. Back in the jungle. Gotta find a woman. Gotta find a woman. Gotta find a woman. That's right. Time to visit with Ugg.
Well, today's lives are wrapped around a clock. Just look at it. There's Eastern Time, Central Time, Brag Time, Lunchtime, Nap Time. The list is endless. But what of time before time? Way back in early caveman days, there was no time for work. There was no time for play. In fact, there was no time for anything because time hadn't been invented yet. Everyone had time on their hands, but they didn't know what to do with it because there was no way to measure it. And the Timex Watch Company was selling peanuts. Now, this was frustration to Ugg because he would charge other cavemen sparking stones to make them things by measuring how long he worked on the invention or to create the final product. But since there was no way to tell how long it took, he was constantly being cheated out of sparking stones. This made Ugg want to invent a way to measure time. Now, during this time, which we are not sure of, Ugg had a young apprentice, Gat, who wanted to learn the inventing trade. The candles were very rare back then and were only used for scientific research. They were rare because they were made out of a material secreted from the giant killer wax bees. The bees had no use for the secreted wax, but they sure didn't like it when someone tried to take or something would try to take it from them. So as Gat was only an intern, it was his job to steal the wax secretion from the giant killer wax bees, who would swipe the wax and then run for several miles for his life to the beeless bog, where he would hide out until the coast was clear. Now, I only tell this story to describe why candles were so rare and only used for scientific research. The first way Ugg tried to measure time was by carving three notches into a candle. This is how it worked. When Ugg would get up in the morning, he would use a sparking stone to light the candle. Then the candle burned down to the first notch, it was time for breakfast. When it burned to the second notch, it was lunchtime. And when it burned to the third notch, it was dinner and dark and time to go to bed. This process was known as Burnous Notches. Another time, Ugg and Gat lit the end of each end of a candle to see how long it would take for the candle to burn to the middle. This process was known as burning the candle at both ends. One day, Ugg and Gat accidentally sat on this candle, and this was known as the process of burning both ends on the candle. Burnous Notches wasn't a bad system, but it wasn't accurate either, since no candle was exactly like another. Then Ugg noticed that when he drove a stick upright into the ground in the sun, it would cast different shadows. In the morning, the shadow was long, then shorter, and then when the sun was directly overhead, there was no shadow at all. Gat, thinking that it was a magic stick, said he wanted it, but Ugg said it wasn't the stick and stuck 23 more into the ground. "Egads, they all work," Gat exclaimed. "I must have those sticks. They are mine." Ugg countered, "No, they are mine." And after much bickering back and forth, they decided that they would call the stick ours. So the 24 hours were born. It was child's play to break the sticks into minutes and hours, and since they had the minds of the children, they did it. Time was invented, and later, Albert Einstein added the concept of relativity, but to this day, no one knows how he ever made a living from it.
Very nice. Thank you, Ugg.
From the dawn of time.
Bravo. Well done.
There we go. Maybe we should, if I can find it. Yes. Give a little chance to catch our breaths while we hear from our sponsor.
Too bad about radio.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, since television, you know, hardly anybody listens to radio anymore.
Oh, I wouldn't worry about that if I were you. There's a radio in use for every man, woman, and teenager in America.
Really? Gee, I'd hate to think of them all turning them on at once.
They do. Every morning.
Who listens to radio? That go-where-you-go medium called radio. That's with you every night through the long commuter fight, and in the morning with your toast and mama lady. Oh, who listens to radio? No matter if it's summer, winter, spring or fall, who listens to radio? Only 150 million people.
Here we go. Marmaladio. Does anyone right. marmalade anymore? I don't know.
No. Marmaladio? Hmm. Is that with peanut butter or
Oreos.
Nutella Oreos.
Everything goes good with Oreos. So yeah. as I recall.
Yeah, I was one of those that ripped the in half and ate the cream out. No, I was an Oreo dunker.
I was a dunker also.
I'm more of a Chips Ahoy fan myself.
Thing is, if you over-dunk the Oreos, then you had chocolate milk with floaters.
Yeah. Well, you got to eat it with your spoon. Right, right.
Yeah.
Just for reference, by sheer chance, Oreos are vegan. They have no meat products or dairy products in them whatsoever.
They're good. Wonderful. Wonderful. Unfortunately, they go good with milk.
Yes, they do. Yep.
But, yeah. Chips Ahoy were good, too, though. I liked those.
Yeah.
Do you remember Mr. Chips? They were like little Chips Ahoy things, and they came in a little... They came in a box, and they were in a clear cellophane wrap. So I think there were three rows of them. Mr. Chips.
Mr. Chips doesn't ring a bell.
The only thing I had with that were animal crackers. Yeah. So are you a fan of the chewy Chips Ahoy or the original hard ones?
I prefer the original. Get a little crunch. chomp, chomp, chomp.
I'm kind of the soft one instead of the crunchy one myself. So, just that's why they make the different cookies. That's why they make.
You're making me depressed. Mm-hmm. if only I could travel in time.
But I bet you could have some ideas to some. Time travel facts, Dale facts. It's turn. It's your turn.
With apologies to Dave, it's time for time travel facts, Dale facts. Time travel fact. Time travel is possible. Once a non-believer of time travel, famous theoretical physicist Stephen Hawking has since retracted his statement that time travel was impossible. Dale fact. Wife of Dale Kay feels that Dale is impossible. Time travel fact. Astronauts are time travelers. The phenomenon that causes astronauts to travel back in time, effectively known as time dilation, which says that clocks in space shuttles run slightly slower than on Earth. Dale fact. When his sugar crashes, like it is right now, his pupils tend to dilate.
Ew. Okay.
Actually, not that funny. Time travel fact. The theory of relativity is the very foundation of the time travel. Scientists are acknowledging time travel all over the world.
Dale, you're going to have to restart that one. You were kind of gurgling at the beginning.
Time travel fact.
Try it again.
The theory of relativity is the base foundation of the time travel. Scientists are acknowledging time travel all over the world because of Einstein. Dale fact. There's nothing. There is no fact. Dale has no relatives. Time travel fact. Over 184 movies and another 100 television series revolve around time travel. Dale fact. If he keeps eating, he's going to have about 184 planets that revolve around him. Finally, time travel fact, the Philadelphia experiment. Conspiracy theorists believe that the U.S. Navy tried to experiment in turning their warships invisible. The experiment failed, and according to conspiracy theorists, the USS Eldridge traveled back in time for 10 seconds with crew members who were said to have developed psychosis and others with many illnesses. This event inspired a Hollywood film, The Philadelphia Experiment. Dale fact. His life is an experiment. A failed experiment. But
there you go.
I get by with a little help from my friends.
There you go. Well, yeah, you got to have your closing. You had the opening. You got to have your closing. Dun, dun, dun.
Anyways,
come on.
Eeny, meeny, chili beeny, the spirits are about to speak.
There we go.
Okay.
Just for one more makeup smear, because we believe Gar is on in about 6 minutes and 30 seconds on your Twitchers there, after we're done moving around.
I think we got time for me to reach over and drop another wooden nickel in the old jukebox here, Dave. Dale?
Let's do it.
Indeed. Yeah, I'm scrolling there. Just give me a minute. Scroll on the other way. Anyway.
I'd like to say a word about the one that belongs to you, the one you love. If he's in the service, maybe in some remote part of the world, the most precious thing in his life is the letters he gets from you, from home. So please keep them posted. You know, I want you to know about a letter that I got recently from a GI guy in Korea. It was Dateline, Dogface Villa, and it read like this. Dear Doris, we had an outdoor movie a couple of weeks ago, and in it, you and some silly character spent 6 reels getting mad at each other, then making up, then getting mad again, then making up. I don't know how it is now back in the States, but it seems to us guys over here that somebody's wasting an awful lot of time. Well, anyway, he goes on to invite me over there, and then he closes with, "If you can't make it in person, Doris, a letter would make this particular mud hole shine like a second lieutenant's bars." The letter is signed, Private First Class John Boseman, 40th Division, United States Army. Well, wherever you are, John, this one is just for you. Oops, my heart went oops the moment that we met. My heart went oops, I never will forget. My heart turned hoops the moment that I met you. Oops, my feet went oops, I nearly took a spill. My knees went oops, they shook a bit until. My head went oops, you mustn't let it get to you. I was going for a very, what you call a solitary sort of stroll. Just a twiddle in my thumbs when I heard a lot of drums begin to pound and roll. And oops, my heart went oops, it went into the spin of loops and loops. You must have thought akin to nincompoops the silly way I answered. Of course you couldn't know that you were so aglow and I was so attracted. But baby, take a bow. My heart is going oop right now. I was going for a very, what you call a solitary sort of stroll. Just a twiddle in my thumbs when I heard a lot of drums begin to pound and roll. And oops, my heart went oops, it went into a spin of loops and loops. You must have thought me kin to nincompoops the silly way I acted. Of course you couldn't know that you were so aglow and I was so attracted. But baby, take a bow. My heart is going oops, oops, oops right now.
Yes, it was Doris Day, CW. That was this little song called Oops. Not Hoot, Hoot, Hoot.
Yeah. So, Dale, what's happening next week on Erie House Radio?
Oh, let's see. As soon as I figure that out, I'll tell you. Oh, is that what you say? Is that what you say? That's right.
There you
the
go.
Evil Satanic yeah. One with Hall of Fantasy, Witch's Tale, and Inner Sanctum. And then we'll return with another CBS Radio Mystery Theater next Saturday. But you want to start out first by joining us Friday at 8:30.
Yep. Yep. Looks like a fun time. I wonder, well, you know, maybe not. You never know with the devil in hand. So.
Indeed. But remember, everyone, if you still have manual devices that need to be sprung ahead, don't forget to do that.
Yes, 2 a.m. tomorrow, or you can just do it when you go to bed. That works that way, too. Somehow it works out the same way. But don't do it to your computers, because they'll do it themselves. Yes, they will.
So if you don't change your clock, we'll be on next Friday at 7:30. If you do, 8:30 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah,
I sat here figuring this out, you know. I just don't want you to miss the show.
Yeah. But if you do, better tune in to 8:30. Otherwise, you'll be sitting there for an hour waiting for us. Yeah.
That's right. Horrible Horrors, coming up next on Twitch near you in about 50 seconds. So thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week with the devil. The devil, the devil. The devil made me do it.
The devil to pay. And I don't have that much money.
Give the devil his due.
Yes, maybe he'll sing a little song like Christmas Time in Hell. Who knows? South Park reference.
Okay.
Good night.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And her.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Almost perfect.
Ooh,
almost.
Looked perfect on my end, Dale.
Yeah. Yeah, a little shaky.
Yeah. Well, we need to get off so you can get to your stash. So.
Definitely.
Yep. So with
yeah,
that,
I keep
CW
bar handy for emergencies. That or like, do I have one here?
Your
no.
Your butterscotch? No, of course you did.
Yeah. No, my butterscotch got away. Probably from the last emergency.
In that timely way, in a timely fashion, I will say it is time for Mr. Durant to take the time to regale us with a proper adieu. Mr. Durant, if you please.
Good night. What for this sake, but good night. We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Horrible, aren't we the same? And
inconsequential.
Good night. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
The foregoing has made it obvious to me that we've had quite enough for one evening. We shall save the rest until next week when I shall reappear. Until then, good night.